What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. This is the Stone Cold Steve Austin of Sports Betting Podcast. You hear that glass break? Why? Because you know you're about to listen to a sports betting podcast that talks about things that other sports betting podcasts won't. We get into the psychology. We get into the darker sides of the industry. We call people out because there's a lot of BS going on in gambling Twitter and in the gambling world. And we capitalize and we expand on theories, angles, ways that we can better understand the sports and the great industry that is sports betting. What's up, everybody? Awesome to be with you here again. My name is Chris R. Farley. You can catch me at Farley Betts across all social media. I'm the head of betting at the 33rd team, contributor over there at the BetUS NFL and NBA shows, contributor at the Odds Breakers and other sports betting companies and factions as well. More affiliations possibly coming down the road. TBD, look out for that. Look out for me and other mediums. FarleyBets.com. Getting built and built and built. We're almost there. Hang with me. Be patient. Free picks and a lot to offer on FarleyBets.com. Coming up and coming at you. And again, we mostly handicap the NBA and the NFL. Those are our expert sports, you could say, as our specialties. We handicap college basketball, winning a few units over there, getting better and better. Handicap college football, UFC, tennis. We branch out. We do WNBA and CFL in the summer as well. Hey, now. So anyway, all things sports betting. Welcome back to Laying the Points, everybody. And on this episode, we will talk about the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Can't wait to talk about that. I'll give you my leans, my analysis here in this show, and we'll give away a free pick in the NBA at the end of the show as well for the January 18th slate. NBA is still crazy, ladies and gentlemen, but we're starting to at least see some more positive outcomes from our end from a gambling and betting perspective. More winning than losing lately, thank God. But there's still a lot of things that don't make sense. One of my handicapping buddies, very well respected in the betting world, put out a tweet the other day about how ROI on home dogs, for example, an all-time low. Return on investment on away favorites at an all-time high. There's just some things that aren't making sense right now in the NBA. You got teams like the Bucks who are flailing, losing straight up in games they should win. Warriors just kind of finding their footing now. Just a lot of teams just up and down, inconsistent. Hopefully in the next few months, things start to make more sense. But we'll talk primarily about the NFL on this show. And before I get started, I always like to have a little introductory rant. So let's do it. Let me just address a tweet that I put out. I think it was Friday or Saturday. Maybe it was Saturday morning. About basically the tweet was saying, I don't blame anybody if they want to parlay, money line parlay, the Bengals, the Bills, and the 49ers. Of course, if you did that, that would have worked out. If you did that at the end of the week, you were getting about minus 150 for that parlay. That's kind of brutal. If you did that at the beginning of the week, you're getting around minus 110. It's not bad. Got some vitriol, got some feedback from sports betting, famous sports bettors and betting accounts that think their shit doesn't stink. And let me just address something here. First of all, nobody, including me, was asserting that uncorrelated parlays are a way to win in sports betting on a regular basis. They're not. Everybody knows that. Everybody should know that. It's an oversaturated industry. There's a lot of bad content out there. There's a lot of misleading content. A lot of guys and gals aren't very transparent about their records, or they're trying to go about things in a superficial way. That's not me. Been on the scene for 2 years. I've done some things. Won circa fifth place last year. Pretty historic records in the NBA. We've done some things. So we know, I know, the proper tactics of sports betting. But can I regurgitate some of the statistics that these big balls, pontificators on gambling Twitter like to talk about? No. And here's the thing. Here's the greater point. Number one, every single pro sports bettor has made terrible mistakes along their gambling history. I promise you. You go back in some of these big wig names and see their transaction history and the bets they've made. They've made some pretty stupid bets. I promise. I promise. Why? Because the psychology of gambling, what draws most of us in is the thrill, right? We can double our money, triple our money. Man, $1 bet could win $100. Like, it's exciting. It's a part, it's a way for us to be a part of sports. It's a thrill, right? This isn't chemistry, right? It's not physics. It's not, there's not black and white results. And those guys and girls, mostly guys who just have a lot of hubris, love to pontificate, love to be the predatory gambling Twitter police. They like to call people out, degradate people, dehumanize people, be condescending to these sports bettors who are trying to make it, trying to get out there on the scene. And there's a lot of bad ones. There's a lot of misleading ones. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But at the same time, you've made the same mistakes, bro. I guarantee it. Show me your transaction history. In order to succeed in this industry, you got to make some mistakes, right? You got to put too much money on a bet you shouldn't have. You have to put too little money on a bet you loved. You got to do some parlays and realize, oh, that's not going to work. That's not going to work very often. But what we have in the sports betting sphere mostly are these guys who have been in the industry for a long time talking in a condescending, pontificating fashion to all of you. And I'm not here to do that, right? 99% of sports bettors in this world and in this country, let's just keep it to the U.S., are brand new to the marketplace. They want to have fun. They want to thrill. They don't want to be told. They don't want these regurgitated statistics thrown at them, which, first of all, feel very nebulous, ambiguous. You have no idea how they got to those things. And listen, some of those sports bettors that talk that way are really bright. Like, they're really brilliant dudes. But it's not translating, right? Like, if anything, you're pushing bettors away by pontificating with these crazy, like, numbers. Basically, well, the probability of this is, I wonder if any of these guys who love to sit in their little chairs, probably 140 pounds, soaking wet. I wonder if any of them ever say to themselves, all this modeling I'm doing, all this analyzing data that I'm doing, I do realize that it's not predictive of future outcomes, right? It's not. Everything that a modeler or a statistician is using to win their bets is based off of past performance. And at no point in the history of humankind have you ever been able to accurately predict a future result based on previous outcomes. They might look similar. There might be some trends that grow. And you might have a better handle of the probabilities at hand than the sports book. And at the end of the day, that's what you want, right? I get that. But it's still probability. I'm a philosophy guy. 4.0 philosophy graduate. Thought about being a PhD in philosophy at one time. Yeah, right. Far from that now. I was like, there's no money in that. But I'm a philosophy guy, so I don't think about only probabilities. We have to think about probabilities and data. We have to. There's too much of it out there, right? The Kansas City Chiefs average 8.7 yards per pass, number one in the NFL. They average 0.45 points per play. They're the most explosive offense in the NFL. These are important things to know for matchups. But when you get deep into the statistics of probabilities of a particular bet, you might feel more comfortable about that, but that is not an end-all, be-all, black and white, nor is it necessarily the smartest way to always approach a bet. Because there's so many different factors that are going on, right? Especially in a sport like football, where you have 22 players on the field, you have different coaches, different environments, different situations, different motivational factors, different elements of human behavior that is highly unpredictable. And I promise, you can include any kind of metric or any kind of predictive measure in a model that can possibly predict the next events of human behavior. You can try. Sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. And the idea is to be right more than you're wrong. I get it. But stop proselytizing. Stop pontificating. Other sports bettors out there, stop acting like a know-it-all, okay? We don't know anything, right? Like, that's what Socrates said, man. This is my philosophy background. I don't know anything, and that's why I'm the smartest man alive. You don't know shit. Approach sports betting that way every single day with a clean slate. Look at the data, but look at all the other elements that come into play, and then make a decision. That's how we've won contests. That's why we've succeeded at betting. And when we teach and talk about sports betting, we certainly don't come at it from this high in the sky on my pulpit, the ultimate end of, you know, the last say on everything, right? You hear a lot of guys talk like that on podcasts. This is what's going to happen because this is what the probabilities state. No, it is not. The probabilities are limited. Look at possibilities a little bit more too, to add that critical element to your handicapping. That's what I do. You got to stay critically thinking, right? There's a difference between people who go to college and people who don't. And often the difference is critical thinking, challenging your own notions, including your model. So while you push up your little glasses and sit there 140 pounds soaking wet, don't come at other people who are trying to go, you know, get into sports betting in an honest way, or who are putting out tweets that are, you know, I mean, let's face it, right? Even though that bet won, Buffalo, Cincinnati, San Francisco, many years it doesn't win, right? My only thing was, I don't blame anyone for taking that bet. Oh my God, put a scarlet letter on him. Crucify him. Oh, how dare he say that on gambling Twitter. It's so funny. It's so funny, isn't it? But this is what happens in a new industry, an oversaturated industry. Everyone's trying to get in and make money. I get it. It's just kind of annoying. All right, let's get into these NFL divisional playoff games, and then I'll give away my NBA free pick here in this show. The Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville's 8.5-point underdogs on the road, as they probably should be, right? Because it's still the Kansas City Chiefs. First of all, I'll say this. The over makes sense. I think Jacksonville plus 8.5 makes sense. But I also think the Kansas City Chiefs qualify as one of the better teaser legs this weekend. And the Chiefs had the hardest schedule in the NFL this year, and they only lost to Buffalo, Cincinnati, and you guessed it, week 3, to the piss-poor Indianapolis Colts. I'm still not sure what happened in that game. The Chiefs were my survivor play that weekend. I wish I can go back and fix that. Still can't believe that happened. But regardless, except for that little asterisk, really the Bills and the Bengals are the only teams that flat out beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs beat themselves against the Colts. But the Chiefs have navigated one of the, if not the hardest schedule in the NFL this year. And they're right on top. Once again, right on top. 14-3. They won 9 out of their last 10 games by an average of 10 points per game margin. It's incredible. Even though they're not necessarily blowing away one team after another, like they're big-time favorites every weekend, right? It's hard to cover those numbers. It's kind of why I like the Jaguars this weekend, because they haven't really covered a lot of those numbers. They're on the poorer side of against the spread teams this year. But again, 0.45 points per play. If that was up to 0.5 points per play, that would mean every 2 plays, Kansas City scores 1 point. That's incredible. They're the most explosive offense in the NFL, guys and girls. And even though the Jags qualify as that hyper-athletic, big burst type of defense, they're not necessarily a stingy, disciplined, consistent group, are they? And they got to go against this Kansas City group, 7.8 yards per pass. That's number 1 in the NFL. 4.7 yards per carry. That's top 10. They can run the ball too, folks. And Jaguars pretty good run defense, but is it going to hold up with the varied, versatile attack of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? The Chiefs are also lights out, very efficient on 3rd and 4th down conversions. tops in the NFL, second overall in both. Jacksonville's 29th in third down conversion allowed. They allow 43.46% of third down conversions. If Jacksonville cannot get off the field, this could get ugly. It could. And, you know, it's hard to know how good Kansas City's run defense is because the Jaguars can run the ball, right? Travis Etienne has really surged the second half of the year. And most teams have to exclusively pass against Kansas City because they're so explosive, right? So they kind of abandon the run when they play the Chiefs. But the Jags, 4.8 yards per carry, not that much better than Kansas City. And Chris Jones and that defensive line, they're pretty good. Fifth in sack rate. They also don't allow sacks, by the way. Second in sack rate, sacks allowed per game. But Chris Jones is going to be a problem in this game, folks. Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line has been good, but they haven't seen Chris Jones. 15.5 sacks this year. He's a beast. He's ferocious. And he's coming on strong as the season has ended. And I think the Chiefs are going to get a few stops. I'm not sure if the Jaguars are going to get any stops. Arrowhead Stadium, tough place to play. Still lean Jacksonville, but like I said, Kansas City teaser leg. Tease that down to -2.5. Not too shabby. The Giants and the Eagles, obviously I have a lot to say about this game because it's my Giants. First of all, what I'll say is this. Philly cannot sleepwalk into this game. I know they beat the hell out of the Giants in week 14, 48-22, but the Giants have an identity. They have a real identity now. Like, compare what Brian Daboll has done with the New York Giants in 1 year to what Brandon Staley has done with the Chargers. I mean, the difference is, like, I don't know why we act like differences in head coaching is, like, esoteric. It's not. The difference in good head coaching is very clear, right? You see it on the field. You see the way players support each other. They rally around each other. Does the QB go to the coach after a bad play? Does the coach chop down or raise up the players? Does he just ignore the players when they come to the sideline? There's a great moment in the game when Darius Slayton dropped the pass in the fourth quarter that really could have secured the Giants' win. And he went to the sideline really upset. And they showed Coach Brian Daboll coming up to Slayton, you know, just kind of grabbing him. You can tell he was encouraging him, pumping him up, telling him not to worry about it. That's a coach. That's what a coach does. And Daboll is obviously a brilliant offensive mind. I mean, look at those plays that him and Mike Kafka were rolling out there against the Vikings on Sunday. They're an innovative offense. They're run-first offense. Offensive line looked great. I mean, they were really well prepared. So he brings in a great mind, but he's a motivator. And these New York Giants, they believe in themselves now. And that's not good for the Philadelphia Eagles because the Eagles haven't looked good. They've stumbled through the last few games of their season. After they beat the Giants, kind of stumbled and hung around against bad teams. Lost to the Saints, got bullied in the trenches against the Saints. Really did. Lost to the Cowboys. Of course, they didn't have Jalen Hurts. But they ended the season not looking very crisp. I mean, they could have lost that game against the third string of the Giants in week 18. There's no real momentum for the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Whereas the Giants have a lot of momentum. They believe, and sometimes, you know, these are still pro athletes, right? Sometimes that's all that matters. I mean, it feels a lot like the 2007 Giants. Nobody believed in them. Nobody thought Eli was that good. Nobody was really celebrating their defense, although they knew they had a defensive line that could cause problems, right? I mean, Strahan, et cetera. But they had a really good defensive coordinator, just like they do this year with Wink Martindale. They had Spags back then. They had culture. And they had no pressure. Right, they became road warriors. They beat Tampa Bay, Dallas, and Green Bay in 2007 on their way to the Super Bowl and beating the Patriots. And now here we go, road warriors, beat the Vikings. Philly is different. But when a team believes in themselves, a lot can happen. And this is a really good coach. The question is, in 2023, can a really good coach and a really good team that's really, you know, has a lot of momentum, really believing in themselves, can they dethrone a team that's been a superpower all year like the Philadelphia Eagles? That's the question. But Giants over 28 points per game their last five games. And you know, my opinion, they're more talented than people think, right? They have an elite offensive lineman right now in Andrew Thomas. They're wide receivers, although you can't consider them elite. They weren't thought of that way. Well, they're very acclimated to their offense. You know, Hodgins is making plays every week. Richie James is making plays. Darius Slayton, he can still ball. And their defensive line is starting to play like one of the better units in the NFL. Their secondary is the concern. Now, they have pretty good cornerbacks and safeties. I mean, Xavier McKinney, he's getting up there to that elite category. Julian Love plays really hard. But they can get burned by the Eagles' wide receivers, no doubt about it. They have a pretty weak linebacker crew. That's the part of the field we're going to have to really watch. Are the Giants going to get exposed in the middle of the field, you know, kind of open up the passing game for Jalen Hurts? And the thing for the Eagles, man, Giants' run defense has been exposable at parts of the year. They've gotten better to end the year. But this is a big test for Jalen Hurts because the Giants are going to be ready. We saw how ready they were last week. And it's really, I think it's going to come down to the trenches. The Eagles' offensive line could win this game. Because if they give Jalen Hurts a lot of time like they always do, then Jalen Hurts is probably going to pick the Giants apart, right? I mean, what quarterback couldn't with 4 seconds in every throw? And that's what he has much of the time, a clean pocket. Eagles also over 4 sacks per game this season. So if they can get to Daniel Jones, who I promise is not going to have the same lanes and space to throw into this weekend against the Eagles, he did last week against the Vikings, that's for sure. You know, the trenches could win this game easily for the Eagles because they're so talented in that area. But the Giants' offensive line looked fluid last week, very organized, very much one unit, the way they moved, very effective. And the Giants' defensive line is coming on now too. So maybe it's not an automatic. As you can tell, I lean Giants plus 7.5. Going to stay away from the total in this one. I can see it going either way. It's a rough NFC East battle, right? Third time this year. All right, let's go on to the Bengals and Bills. Bengals are 5-point underdogs on the road, which I don't think it's right. I know there are injuries to their offensive line, but this is the same offensive line that they went to the Super Bowl with last year. And they weren't that consistent. They weren't that great, but they made the Super Bowl. They got through tough games. My biggest concern here for the Bills is Josh Allen. Josh Allen is that player who is as exciting as it gets. God, can he really throw the ball downfield? I mean, what an arm. But he's making mistakes. He's being a little loosey-goosey with the football. Right? Like, does he miss Brian Daboll? He might. Because look at the way Daniel Jones is playing right now, how much he cleaned up his game. Daniel Jones is not turning the ball over. That's the biggest difference for the Giants. If they don't turn the ball over, the Giants are hard to beat. Josh Allen now, 3 fumbles last week, 2 interceptions. He's lucky that he only lost 1 fumble. Can't do that against Cincinnati. You can't do that against the Chiefs either. I mean, Mahomes is ice cold. He's been ice cold all year, undeterred. So is Joe Burrow. That's how these guys play. They don't get deterred. They don't get shaken up. Josh Allen looked a little shook last week. You could see it in his eyes. Bills are saying Micah Hyde is still not playing. And I know that Buffalo defensive line can be really effective, really fierce, but they haven't been that great this year. They're 16th in the NFL in sack rate. I mean, they got 1 sack against the Patriots a few weeks ago, 2 sacks against one of the worst teams in the NFL, one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL, and the Bears. So maybe Cincinnati can survive. Maybe Joe Burrow can survive. I don't think they should be that much of an underdog in this game. And, you know, when they were playing 3 weeks ago, when they were about to play Buffalo, Cincinnati looked fantastic. I mean, they came out looking crisp. Strong lean to Cincinnati. I mean, I don't have to lie to you folks. It ain't just a lean. I'm taking it. I'm betting on the Bengals +5. Absolutely. I think that's too many points. You got to give credit to Orchard Park, the home field advantage, the Buffalo Bills, their fans, the energy. But if we get 1 or 2 mistakes from Josh Allen, the Bengals could easily win this game. I mean, the Bengals were one of the hottest teams in the NFL coming into the playoffs. Last year, they faced the Ravens. The Ravens are kind of, you know, the Ravens might be their kryptonite. You know, Ravens play them really hard. Ravens probably should have won that game. I mean, they played really well last week. But Cincinnati survived. I think they play a lot better this week. +5 is a premium price for a team that many were saying, many thought, experts, pundits, you name it, including our own Josh Larkey at the 33rd team, who picked him for the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. They might be, they came into the playoffs as possibly the best looking team in the NFL. And now you're giving them 5 points. So I'm taking the Bengals in that one. Kind of want to play the over, but again, could be one of those playoff games where defense wins a little more than we think. Finally, the Dallas Cowboys at the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers are 3.5-point favorites. Total's 46. I'll tell you what, the Cowboys looked good. They looked really good. You got to give them credit. That was Dak's, I think that was Dak's best game I've ever seen him play. He was decisive. He was aggressive when he should have been. He pulled down the ball and didn't force throws like he has in the past. He did on one throw that could have been bad, but luckily it was just batted down. But he played smarter football, took advantage of the Tampa Bay Bucks off coverage, their cover three they kept playing. That was terrible. Well, let me tell you something. The San Francisco defense is scary. You watch them at any point this year, they fly to the football. They have a ton of speed. Their defenders stick to wide receivers. They play that aggressive style of zone where they're just kind of always watching the quarterback. You know, they'll fly into these zone spots where they can pick off any ball or, you know, blow up a wide receiver. They can garner pressure without a blitz. And when they do blitz, it always seems to be innovative and hard to predict. This is going to be a huge test for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. And for what it's worth, you know, I've talked crap about Mike McCarthy before too. I think that's a good pairing, like Dak and McCarthy. McCarthy gives him confidence. It sure seems that way. And, you know, that's who Mike McCarthy is, right? He's a player's coach, right? He's just like a happy guy. He tries to be a motivator. And let's face it, it's been working. I mean, they're the best ATS team last year, best team against the spread, and they're over 61% against the spread this year. Like, it works, okay? But the Cowboys need to – I think they need to get to a different level in this game because this is a complete San Francisco team. A San Francisco team that is 8-2 against the spread at home this season. I mean, they have a top five offensive line. We saw Micah Parsons flying around the ball, had a two-yard loss on the Bucs on the very first play of the Bucs offensive drive. Easy for me to say in their last game on Monday Night Football. He was everywhere. And he's a game wrecker for sure. But the thing about this San Francisco offense is, and I love what Colin Coward said on The Herd. He said, you know, they're a QB-friendly team, but they're not a QB-centric team, right? To me, that's kind of perfect to combat Dallas because Dallas has that aggressive downhill nature on defense where they attack. I think Shanahan and Purdy and McCaffrey can take advantage of the Cowboys' aggressive nature and Dan Quinn's aggressive nature. With some misdirection, right? Brock Purdy, really good when he's outside the pocket, making things happen from what we've seen so far this year. I mean, the kid is good. The kid's a good fit. 3.5 is about right, just over a field goal. I want to lean Dallas because they have all the talent to keep up with the 49ers. I just don't know if they can. I don't know if they will. And usually betting against Dak and the Cowboys in big moments like this has been very beneficial. Now, they took care of business last week, but let's face it, the Bucs and Tom Brady, they're just not the same this year. The 49ers are a different animal, right? 11 straight wins. I do like the over in this game. San Francisco, 34 points per game in their last seven. Dallas, 31 points per game in their last seven. I do think that their offenses, I think this should be more like 48.5. I think their offenses are going to win a little bit more than the sports books are giving them credit for. So I like the over, and I would say even though I want to lean Dallas, I lean San Francisco -3.5 because they haven't – they're the one team last weekend, right, where, yeah, maybe in the first half Seattle was competitive, and we saw a really good version of Seattle. And then what happened? The elite nature of the 49ers on both sides of the football took over, right? Brock Purdy settled in. And it's going to be a challenge for him. I mean, listen, if those Cowboys defensive – line, you know, if a Micah Parsons can get in there, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough for Brock Purdy. But I trust that offensive line. I mean, Trent Williams is healthy. San Francisco's offensive line is they're an attacking group. I mean, even Greg Kittle's a great blocker, right? So they usually blow the other team off the line first. Again, the trenches matter. I think it's a pretty even battle here, but I would give an edge to the San Francisco 49ers there too. All right, with that, let's end the show because we like to keep it around 30 minutes, and let's give our NBA free pick. It is hard not to bet on the Hornets-Rockets going over tonight, and there's a few reasons why. And the biggest reason for me is that neither team is playing any defense. These are two of the worst defenses in the NBA over the past 3 weeks. They're also allowing a lot of penetration, a lot of rim, a lot of shots at the rim, a lot of rim attacking from opposing offenses. They're not putting up a lot of resistance, especially Houston. So I like the Hornets to win, and I like the over, and I think it makes a pretty good correlated parlay. The Hornets can get anything they want in this game, probably. They can attack the rim. Houston's just not good in that area, but Houston will run with pace. They'll put up some offense too, right? Basically, these are two bad teams who are vying for future contracts and for their place in the NBA because they know they're not going anywhere this year. So these games usually end up in a lot of points. So I'm taking over 236, and I'm taking the Hornets. Maybe you should too. With that, laying the points with Farley Betts, ladies and gents, thank you for having me in your earphones, in your homes, in your speakers, in your cars. We will see you again next week, and we will have even more podcasts coming out in the future. Good luck this weekend in the NFL. Good luck today if you're betting. See you next time. Farley Betts, we out of here.